If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Extremely local news time now at 7:20. Seamus Toomey from Block Club Chicago. Good morning, Seamus. Are you ready for cocktails to go? Give us the latest on that.
You know, after that moment of zen, Bob, I'm not sure I'm ready for cocktails at all.
You're too relaxed right now?
I'm a little too relaxed. So, you know, I'm glad I wasn't driving because I just want to get back into bed right now. But that was wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So, well, later in the day, when you snap out of that, you can start ordering cocktails from home now. Actually, the governor has to sign this bill, but he promised he would. Just went through the House over the weekend, and the Senate both approved it in Springfield, and it's really being hailed as a lifeline for a lot of bars and restaurants who make so much of their profits on the markup on cocktails. You know, like $12, $13, $14 cocktail. You know, poured out of a $30 bottle of booze, you know, you make up, you can make your rent in a hurry that way. So it's a big push for a lot of these restaurants to get this done. There was a state law needed to be tweaked to allow it, but it's going to be important. So, you know, we started asking the governor about this because we were hearing from restaurant owners. And the first time we asked the governor, he had sort of like a confused look on his face, like, well, what do you mean curbside pickup of cocktails? Don't we have more important things to do? Hmm. But the reality is that a lot of these restaurants think they can eke out a little bit of a living over the next couple months while business is so slow by just doing, you know, some of this would be just the generosity of customers who want to, you know, pay for expensive cocktails to be brought to their house and tip a little bit extra. So it's going to be interesting. A lot of bars and restaurants are really excited about this.
So it's curbside and delivery for legal liquor sales, now legal.
Yeah, that's right. And there's just a couple tweaks to the law to make it possible. You know, they've got to be sealed somehow, and that could be something as simple as shrink wrap, like what they do with beer growlers. It's got to be in the trunk or the back of the car. Grubhub is not allowed to, no third-party deliveries, and you're supposed to check IDs and cancel sales if someone can't prove they're 21. So it goes into effect the second Governor Pritzker signs it, which should be any minute now.
Got it. I like this story, and it's a very good neighborly thing to do in Saugeen and Edgebrook to help small businesses. Tell us about this.
Yeah, you know, Saugeen and Edgebrook up in the far northwest side of the city, it's really tight-knit. They've got a bunch of small businesses up there that people are really proud of. Just like everywhere else, those places are struggling. A lot of restaurants, a lot of bars, a lot of retail shops. So the local chambers of commerce up in those two neighborhoods banded together, and they formed a raffle where people can go online, buy a $10 ticket, and it throws them into a raffle that will be drawn this coming Sunday night. And all these businesses donated $300 worth of gift cards for the restaurants that can be redeemed next year when things are presumably a lot better. And, you know, so they're trying to raise $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 that they'll spread out over all these businesses. So not a ton of money, but enough to, you know, perhaps help with the rent for the next month or so. And, you know, $10 could win you $7,000 worth of gift cards, which I was trying to do the math. Think about, you know, if someone will end up with $150 to spend at every single restaurant and business in these two neighborhoods. So, you know, it could take me, you know, years to get all that done. unless I could order cocktails from each of these places.
Yeah.
It might get spent a lot faster. So
there you go.
It's run by a place called Everyday Edgebrook, which is a nonprofit community group that organized it. They patterned it after a similar campaign on the other side of town in Mount Greenwood, and it reminds me a little bit of the the rush on the Queen of Hearts raffles that were going on in bars a couple years ago, where it doesn't take much to get into it. People get excited about the chance of winning the jackpot, and along the way, you're supporting the places that you would be supporting if they let you in the past. So it's a good thing. You can do it on our site. We've got links to the Eventbrite page where you can buy the $10 ticket in. And I put my $10 in last night, so we'll see.
Good for you, and hopefully a lot of people will do the same at blockclubchicago.org. And finally, what's going on the Northwest Side with this Farmers Market Collective?
Yeah, this is, continuing the theme of just trying to find ways to keep some of these institutions limping along as best we can entering the summer. A lot of farmers markets have been canceled just for logistics, just not enough room to do curbside pickup, not enough room to do social distancing, so they've had to cancel for now. So three Northwest Side farmers markets got together and said, hey guys, we can't all do this separately. Let's form one big one where we can get a lot of space, we can get a lot of coordination, we can do curbside pickup, we'll take over a huge parking lot. And they got the logistics, they made it work. It's the Independence Park Market, the Portage Park Market, and the Jefferson Park Market. Those three will not be in their normal spots. They're all going to be in the parking lot at the Sears at Six Corners, which is vacant for now. It's pending a demolition and construction there, but for now it's going to be wide open for the farmers markets starting June 14th and then June 28th, and if those go well, they'll add some additional dates. But They really brought together dozens of vendors that anyone that goes to those markets will be familiar with.
I miss all those farmers markets and all the free samples and all of what you normally get. People are just going to have to adapt.
Right, and admittedly, this one's not going to be the same. My favorite part about the market is not knowing what I want and just sort of stumbling around and finding like the braided mozzarella that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, because it tasted good when they gave you a little slice.
Yeah, so now you got to know. You have to know in advance, and you've got to go on an app called What's Good, and pick out what you want and pre-order it, and then you can pick it up. So the friendliness of the market, of the wandering around, is not going to be there, but you'll still have the same feel. You'll see some of the same faces, and you'll be able to find a way to get your fresh produce and your braided mozzarella and keep these places going for a little bit longer.
Yeah, okay, we'll do it. Went a couple of weeks ago up in Evanston to the farmers market there on Saturday, and it's different and it's smaller, but it's still nice to get out. Seamus Toomey, thanks for the report.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And on the extremely local news beat, let me mention this. I heard from the Azzardo family, and they are part of the iconic Mr. Beef. I love the fact that Mr. Beef has survived there in Orleans, in spite of the fact that that River North neighborhood just got so hot and pricey, and hopefully Mr. Beef can survive the pandemic. At any rate, some sad news from the family. Carl Bonavolanto passed away, and he was the other half of Mr. Beef. I think Tony, who died some time ago, was the other person involved in Mr. Beef. Anyway, our best to the family, and hopefully Mr. Beef will be able to continue in that location. It's a great Chicago treasure.